And we're talking about this one verse. You know, we've talked about this before, right? I'll try to keep you informed in advance so you can look into the text and think about it and see. Get ready, right? Mm-hmm. Let the Word of God engage you. Not just me, but the Word of God engage you.
Amen.
So our text for today is this one verse, Romans 8:28. Let's stand together in God's presence as we honor Him and I read His Word in your hearing. Romans 8:28, and it reads this way, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." The people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you all know that any verse that you read is taken out of a larger context, right? I mean, so you studied the Bible long enough to know that to understand the verse, I need to understand where it fits, right? In the context. It's like coming here. You could have given a person exact instructions about this one street out here. But if they don't know where that one street fits in the whole geography, it doesn't make much sense, right? So, for example, if I sent you out directions to get here, and I gave you all these meticulous details about this one street out here, you still can't find the place because it has no meaning.
Right?
When that detail is added to the larger map, it makes sense. So, remember that as this, we look at this one verse. It's in the context, right? It's written to people that are suffering. Okay? Suffering. And I know we have our challenges, but none of us lost our home because we became Christians.
Right?
None of us were fired from our jobs because we became. I mean, there's intimidation, but it didn't happen that blatantly and that aggressive, right? I mean, there may be times that employers are not working with us, but this happened. This kind of suffering came upon these people simply because they were Christians. And suffering, as you and I know it today, as they knew it, started with what? Adam and Eve, right? Suffering came about because man sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Had Adam and Eve obeyed God, that we would know sin. Now, there's no need in going back and talking about the what ifs. But the fact is that sin exists because of disobedience.
Yes. Amen.
The suffering began with Adam and Eve. And now, this Romans 8 says all of creation suffers because of sin. Right? And it's not just you and me. All of creation is affected. The vegetation, the animals, all of God's creation was affected when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Okay? And you and I need to remember that. For people that are determined to try to bring about world peace, there's no. It doesn't matter how brilliant a person is or how good a negotiator they are. There won't be any world peace until King Jesus comes back to reign, because He's got to put down all the rebellion. There's no world power that can. Guns can't do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, surely the world, but it's like the world that can't see that power, atomic power. It doesn't matter how big the bomb is; you cannot bring about peace that way. And so, all creation, Romans 8 here says that is waiting for Jesus to come and restore.
Yeah.
Restore life the way it ought to be. That's what we're looking for, right?
Amen.
Waiting for the time when, because you and I have never known it. We've never known things being set right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know it inside. But even inside, there's a struggle, isn't it?
Amen.
You know you're not where you want to be. You know, I don't want to think this. You ever had that? Why is my mind gravitating toward this thing? Why did I say that? You ever had that?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I do that? And so we know we're not there yet. But this chapter says that all of creation is waiting with you and me. And so Paul writes to give understanding, to give hope and encouragement while we're waiting. Okay? Stay with me now. While we wait, God wants us to have hope.
That's right.
While we wait, God wants us to be encouraged.
Amen.
While we wait, the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer while we're waiting. That's what this text teaches. Right? While we're waiting, God is actively involved. And I'm going to talk to you about today. God is actively involved in all the activities and events of our lives to encourage us while we're waiting. It's all while we're waiting. And we got to keep that in mind, because you and I have got to resist the temptation to think that this is it. This is not home. We're waiting to go home. Now, we don't live as defeated like the Thessalonians. We don't say, well, I just quit my job. And y'all remember back with this millennial thing. You remember back when we were about to go into the year 2000 and people went and quit their jobs. And this big general was with Bush and that whole, he went and sold his, went and bought a farm and started raising animals and making candles and all this kind of thing, okay? But no. We don't live defeated lives. It's just that we know this is not it.
That's right.
Okay? Getting a new vehicle, don't we all know? A new one can be just as bad as an old one. Sometimes it's worse. Right? Or a new house. I can tell you about that. Really. Sometimes it's better to let somebody else go and do it. Really. Buying a pre-owned vehicle is the same way. Let somebody else. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying that in this life, you don't look for perfection. You don't look for things to be ideal. Right? It's only in the kingdom of God. For this life is not eating and drinking.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But joy, peace, happiness, it's in the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. So, what we want to do today is to ask some questions of this verse. Because, you know, when you read the Bible, it's good to ask God. The teen class remembers this. When we talk about the Bible, the issue is not just what does the Bible say. Okay? You need to know what the Bible means. What does God mean by what he says? Okay? So you ask questions. Lord, I read, I understand what you say, but what does it mean? Okay? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask a few questions of this verse. The verse begins by saying "we," right? We know. So we need to know who has this knowledge that this verse is talking about. Who is this "we"? The second question we're going to look at is, what does the word "know" mean? Right? We know. That's what it says, right? Well, so what does "know" mean? What does it mean to know? Then we're going to ask, what is it that we know? And then finally, who is it that has the promise? Mm. Well, this verse gives the promise, right? So that's the issue. Is that, if we're going to be encouraged, I need to at least have these basic things answered. Not by me, but it needs to be answered in your own heart. Okay? And that's one of the reasons we gather to worship, is for God to give us some answers. Okay? So let's start. Who has this knowledge, or who is this "we"? You notice the first phrase in the verse says, those who love God. Right? Those who love God equates to the "we." I got so many, I'm looking at so many Bible students here. So I know you've heard the word agape before. You've heard it probably repeatedly. Okay, that's a noun, love. But this word here is the verb, right? Those who love. Okay, that's an action. Those who love. And so this is agapio, okay? That's the verb. And so phonetically you see it spelled A-G-A-P-A-O, agapio. It means to have a sincere appreciation and high regard for someone. Okay? A sincere, as a matter of fact, I gave you another definition here. A special devotion and sacrificial dedication to someone. You see? You specially devote yourself and you're willing to sacrifice to the thing you devote yourself to. You see? That's agape. That's the way, that's the idea of loving. And so this means, I look further to see if the scriptures would help us understand this definition. It means loving, here's some of the things I discovered. Loving, obeying, serving, and praying. Okay? Loving, obeying, serving, and praying. For example, John 14, I believe verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, what? You'll obey. You'll keep my commandments. And Matthew 5, I believe it is. And Jesus says you, or is it 6? You know this verse. You cannot love God and mammon, or serve. You cannot serve God and money. You will either love one and hate the other, or vice versa, right? So you see, Jesus puts loving and serving together. Whatever you love, you what? Serve. You serve. Right? Jesus also, in another place, in Matthew 5, you remember he's there talking to us about how to deal with the people that hate us? Right? And so Jesus doesn't just say love your friends, or love your family, or love Christians. What does he say? Love your enemies. Right? Love your enemies. Those who you know. Not just dislike you. An enemy is not somebody that dislikes you. Right? An enemy hates you. Because he goes on to say, then pray for those who purposely do you wrong. Right? So this love we're talking about involves praying for people who you know are against you. And we all need to hear that word today. My prayer list hasn't changed. Has yours? Serious? You see, your circumstances shouldn't dictate who you pray for. If you love. That's what we're talking about. But in this case, the object of our love is who? God. This is for those who love. Now, obviously, I was just talking to you about loving people. But that's not the first and great commandment, is it? The first and great commandment is not to love people, but you shall love who? The Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so this we that's being addressed here are those who love God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
1 John 4:19 says, we love God. Why? Because he first loved us. Right? We love God because he first loved us. And so I want to conclude with this. Let me read you a sentence that I wrote. You can either write it down or you can get a copy of this audio when we're done. Our special devotion and sacrificial dedication to God is first. That's the whole idea here. If you are among the we that's been addressed in this verse, your sacrificial, your special dedication, sacrificial devotion and dedication is to God first. Mm-hmm. Because you can't do right by people.
Amen.
Not consistently, not sacrificially, unless you are right with God first.
Amen.
And every believer knows that. Amen. You know what it was like trying to do right before you were saved. And you know, I mean, it's a challenge, what? After you're saved. It was impossible before you were saved, even though we tried. Okay? So, our special devotion and sacrificial dedication is to God first. So, that's the week. Secondly, let's look at this word no. K-N-O-W. What does no mean? You see that in verse 28? It says, we know. Okay? And we know. Now, I wrote this phonetically. I spelled out the word here for you. It's a oida. Okay? And this word means to have knowledge by perception or to be acquainted by experience as a fact. Okay? This is important. You have knowledge because you've been acquainted with it through experience, but you know it as a fact. It comes by perception. Now, for us, it's not natural perception. Haven't you? Maybe you've gone through an experience in life, and you finally reach a point in that experience where you say, "I see." Amen. You ever had that? I see. Now, we're not talking about what we see with our natural eye. Mm-hmm. God helps you to see it with your heart and with your understanding, right? That's what we mean. When we say, "I see," I understand, right? Mm-hmm. And so things that we know are not just things that, our school teachers taught us or our parents taught us. Things that we know become deeply rooted truths in our lives. All right, they're things that guide us. When other things don't make sense, what you know, what guides you. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I have come to perceive this as true, and whether you agree with me or not doesn't make it true or false. Right? That's what we're talking about here. Okay, so. This word means that it's a well-known fact that is accepted. Another sentence I wrote for myself. This word expresses absolute certainty. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it brings confidence, hope, expectation, anticipation, and joy regarding our future.
Amen.
What you know encourages you when nothing else makes sense.
Yes.
Right? That's why when we read the Bible and you see the outcome, I know this is true.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. I'll give you another example. Not a one of us was there when Jesus was born.
Amen. Right? Amen.
But my natural eye didn't see it, but it's just as true as if it's more true than if there were people that physically
Amen.
Saw it
Amen.
And still didn't believe.
Come on,
Amen.
Come on.
Right? There are people that saw him on the cross and still didn't believe.
That's right.
So for me, it's sealed. It's a settled fact.
Yes.
Because you know the song, "Were You There?" I'm not even sure what it means. Were you there when it? Because I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't need to be there. Right? I mean, I probably need to listen to the song more. But that's kind of strange deal. You're asking me, was I there? No. And people that say, "Well, I wish I was there when the Red Sea was parted." No, no, no. God says we got a
Amen.
Better testimony.
Amen. Amen.
The people that saw the Red Sea cross, many of them didn't even believe.
Amen.
Right? My heart has been parted. That's so much more wonderful than the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And then whether you believe it or not, I know my heart.
Yeah.
See? That's it.
Freedom.
No. Mm-hmm. I know it's a fact. It's a settled fact.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three illustrations I listed here. For us, is that we know that all things were created by God.
Amen.
Except God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got this, some of these Christian sciences, some of these religions. This is real weird. They can think that God was created,
mm-hmm.
or that Jesus was created. How can God be created?
Mm-hmm.
He's the creator. Everything has to have an origin.
Mm-hmm.
Except God.
Uh-huh.
He has no beginning and no end. From everlasting to everlasting,
yeah.
He's God.
Yeah.
And so I know that everything that was created by God.
Amen.
Whether the evolutionist agrees with you or not.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
I know, you know, everyone is going, every person will die
mm-hmm.
and face God in judgment. Whether you agree with
mm-hmm.
it or not,
mm-hmm.
it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's settled.
Mm-hmm.
It's a settled fact.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, you know, you got these people freezing themselves. I mean, you know, I'm not sure about all this. This whole thing?
Cryogenics.
What is cryogenics?
Cryogenics, yes, sir.
Because people don't want to accept. Mortality.
Mm.
It's a fact. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. You're going to die. And you're going to have to deal with God just like the poor. Just remember Lazarus and the rich man?
Mm-hmm.
The money has nothing to do with it once this life is over.
That's right,
man. It's a whole different perspective then.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
But you will have to give an account
mm-hmm.
for what happened in this life. So that's what we know. All right? So then the next thing we want to talk about is what do we know? Now this is like like watching a movie. I'm telling you, it gets better. Right? This one little verse. It's like you start and it gets like Karate Kid. You start and you just you know it's gonna be good. But I gotta take my time and work through these things because I know this thing got a good plot to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Christian life
mm-hmm.
has the best plot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful thing is that you know the end of the story.
Amen.
Right? And so what this verse does is it helps us to make our way through life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, question then is what is it that we know? Well, this verse says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good.
Mm.
So let's break that down a little bit. All things. I didn't put this on the slide, but phonetically the word would be spelled P-A-N-T-A, panta, P-A-N-T-A. And it means every kind of every variety, no exception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what the word means. All, you may have heard this sometimes. All, in this case, means what? All.
Mm-hmm.
All.
Mm-hmm.
Every kind, every, there is no exception. There is nothing in your life that's not covered
in that
statement.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when you think about this, you see, this is a part again, if you're watching the movie, this is the part of the movie where you ever have to watch the movie two or three times, you know, because you get to the end, you realize, oh, you know, that makes, I want to go back and see that because that was an important thing. I didn't pay that any attention. You ever had that? I didn't pay any attention when I was watching it the first time. And then you watch it again, and it makes so much sense. I mean, obviously for the writer, it made sense to them because they knew where it was going. But you're watching it for the first time. And then when you go back and you think, oh, but that was important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes so much sense now. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. There are things happening in our life that are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're just kind of missing it. Well, not only that, I'm complaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And sometimes I'm really wanting to kind of get rid of it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul
yeah.
and the thorns, you know, because I really think, if I could get rid of this deal, Lord, I'd be a good Christian. I'd be a for real good Christian. If I didn't have to. I mean, that's the way we think. But that's because we don't see the end, and neither are we accepting that all things must be. All things must be included. Now, say it with me. This is important. This includes every detail of our life, but the emphasis in Romans 8 is suffering. There is nothing in Romans 8 that talks about your all of the great things that happen in your life. Why? Because when people are suffering, they need to know that this is a part of the what? All things. Okay? And every one of us needs to hear this. What you're going through right now is a part of Panta. It's a part of all things. Right? So it emphasizes suffering and failure and disaster, sickness, and even death. We're going to read that in a minute. Death is a part of the all things. That's the reason the Christian does not dread death. I need death because that's what takes me home. So, for me, I don't want you to try to keep me here.
Amen.
When it's time for me to
let me go.
Why? If it's time to go, where are you going?
Heaven.
Oh, why do I want to stay?
Amen.
When I can get a Paul, you know, there was times when Paul said, it's better for me to stay, but it wasn't time for him to go.
Amen.
When it's time to go, as a Christian, I want to go. Don't you? Right? There's a time for everything. A time to be born and what? And a time to die. And if it's my time, then go, because that's a part of the all things.
Amen.
The Christian knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Christian, I mean, none of us likes, for example, to go to the doctor and get them, you know, a bad diagnosis or whatever. But the fact is that everyone is going to die, what? From something.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a bad illness, but everybody will die. And even, you know, unless you're, you could even be Elijah or you know, I mean, God could rapture take you out. You're going to die. I mean, you'll be taken out from something.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so for the Christian, we don't, that's reality for us.
Mm-hmm.
Death is reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't walk around trying to pretend that it's not. That's a part of the problem I got with Health and Wealth Ministries. They pretend that sickness is not a part of the whole things.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's right there in the Bible.
Amen.
It's a part of the all things.
Amen.
And for Paul, even though we don't know what his thorn was, God says, not only that, you need that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not what we want to hear.
Amen.
I don't want to hear that I need this thorn, but God says that's a part of the all things.
Amen. Okay? Sure.
You got the Bible? Turn to verse 31. So I want to show you the emphasis here is on suffering. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Look at this list. Now notice that there's no wonderful victories in this list.
Mm.
Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed. All the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's all things.
Yeah.
That's a part of the all things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't make sense when you're going through it.
Mm.
I'm treated like a member of a herd of cattle, a sheep. And that's what was happening to them. They were being herded into the arenas and killed while the onlookers cheered, or being eaten by lions, or being covered in tar and oil and stuck on a stick and burned to death, or being hung between horses and pulled apart, being skinned alive, you see. But that's a part of the all things. And that's what God is wanting to encourage them. Don't think it's awful. The awful way that sin can think. I mean, it's awful what they did to Christ. But that was a part of the all things, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was necessary for you and I,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there are things necessary for you and I in our Christian journey, likewise. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
No. You see what he's saying? These things cannot separate us. You saw what the question was, right, in verse 35?
Mm-hmm.
What shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Shall these things, that the question asking, what does he say? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
You conquer when you hang on to death.
Amen.
You conquer even though you only live to be 30 mm-hmm. or 35 or 40 or 39. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The age I'll live, the time down there doesn't matter.
Right.
You didn't get the job you wanted. The career didn't work. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Your plans didn't work out the way you wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of the all things.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Part.
Yes.
You're still conquering Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Mm.
Amen.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Write it this morning. This is a part of all things.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
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 We may never be in a quote church building.
Mm.
That, why is that an issue?
Yeah.
Mm.
We've set up these idols in a, it has to be
right.
this in order
right.
for us to be a successful church
right.
or this and that. We gotta have why?
That's right. That's right.
The church that's growing today does not have church buildings.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Going 100-fold right now today,
Amen.
While in America it's dying.
That's right.
Well, we got all these wonderful edifices
mm-hmm.
and conditioned rooms,
mm-hmm.
and the church that's growing is outside
right.
when it rains,
right.
when it snows.
Right.
But God is with them.
Yeah,
He's working.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
working.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
We gotta get beyond our little stereotypes
mm-hmm.
and see that all things means that. All
Amen.
Things. All things. Well, I'm sure. Look at how Paul does this. You got that? You got verse 38? Well, I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That covers everything.
Amen.
Even though he didn't include our successes, our victories, I mean, it's there. That's kind of, we really don't struggle with seeing how that fits.
Right.
The struggle comes with, right,
yeah.
these other things.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Amen.
So God knows, he knows to help us where we struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
All things. Now, keep going.
Amen.
All things do what? Work together.
Mm-hmm.
Work together. That word means to cooperate. That's what the original word means, to cooperate or to engage in activity. Oh, listen to this sentence, okay? Listen to this sentence. This is what I wrote for myself. There are no isolated events in our lives. None. There is no luck. There is no chance.
Uh-huh.
There is no accident. And I tell you something that I'll just throw you this out here for free. I really think that we all need to think about how we use the word accident. I've taken it out of my vocabulary. I try to anyway. When people have a wreck, I don't call it a what?
Accident.
I know it's common, but think about it. It was not an accident.
Hmm.
I mean, semantically it means different things. But you understand what I'm saying. I prefer to call it what it is. If it was a wreck, that's what it was. It might have been a minor one, but it wasn't an accident. There are no isolated events. Now, I'm not trying to convict you. I just want you to think. Our words have meaning. Okay? And so, and I've heard people say to me, good luck. Well, no, I don't think the Christian ought to be saying that. I know what you may mean, but why don't you say what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you're blessed. I hope you have success or whatever. But no, not good luck. There's no luck. There's no luck. It's all working together, right? There are no isolated events. Every one of us here this morning is not here by luck and chance.
Mm-hmm.
I know every one of us thinks we made up our own mind. We didn't.
Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Come on.
No, we did, in the sense that God works in us.
Amen.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, I'm getting ahead of myself. But so things are working together. There is the time you were born. You had nothing to do with that. That's not accidental. You know, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're born in the yeah, I guess everybody in the 20th century, as opposed to the 14th or the second or the third. We had nothing to do with that. We're born with electricity rather than candles and campfires. And I mean, think about it. There's no accident. It's a part. This is working together. As in the words of the book of Esther, we were born for what? Such a time as this. Your salvation, I struggle with that at times. I used to. Now I'm just, I have to leave it alone. I mean, I wonder why does it have to be 20? I don't have to wait till I was 28 years old to be saved, to come into, you know, the knowledge of Christ and the you know, but that's no action. That's no luck and chance. That's a part of the all things, right? Your promotion on the job or your termination from the job, that has nothing to do with chance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The time you got sick.
Amen.
You thought of all the times. So have you ever had that?
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking that this morning. His throat was starting. Getting scratched and thinking, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of all the things,
yeah.
God just moved right in and took care of that. You know?
Yeah.
But we have that tendency to think that these things are untimely, you know. This is not the time for this to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Your debt, what don't we know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Just think of all the times, you know, Christmas time, no money. doesn't make sense to us, but that's a part of the all things working together. Let me just read this statement so we need to move on. All events of our lives cooperate with God's plans and purposes for us. Okay, all events. What I want to leave with you, because I need to move on. All things work together and then finally good. Good means to be useful or beneficial. Okay? Useful or beneficial. This means that ultimately it will be beneficial. And so you don't need to sit and think, if I meditate on this long enough, I'll see good. That's not the point. The point is not for you to see so much good in what's happening, but to know. What do we say? This is what you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that this is working together for good. Now that points to the what? Future.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, this is going to come out beneficial for whom?
Me.
Me.
Amen.
That's all I need to know. So I don't need to sit here. Remember how the proverb says, trust in the Lord, what?
Mm-hmm.
All your heart. Don't try to figure it out. Okay? I mean, that's really what it means. Don't sit here, scratch your head, you know, try to figure this thing out. Trust in the Lord. He's working.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be beneficial for you when he gets done.
Amen.
That's the point here. All right? That's the point. One wonderful verse. You got your Bible? Romans 8 and verse 18. Listen to this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What does that say? Future glory outshines present suffering.
Mm.
Mm. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're hurting now.
Mm.
I know things are tough now. But we're going to look back. I'm going to tell you. I mean, at times, doesn't heaven seem like almost too good? I mean, it is in one sense. It's too good for us. I mean, that's the reason none of us could have made heaven. Because we would all have all of our little idiosyncrasies in it. Heaven is going to be so wonderful, everybody there will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be any complainers. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
When we get home, nobody will be complaining. Because you know this is better than I ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
Better than eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has seen. Right now, we can't even imagine.
Amen.
How wonderful it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
So our present suffering doesn't compare with the future glory. And then finally, the last question we want to answer is, who has this promise? Again, the verse says, those who are called according to his purpose. Did you know this? Did you all know that every sinner is called to repent? Okay. You know that verse in Matthew 22, with Matthew 22, with Matthew 22, 14? Amen. Many are called, but what? So every sinner, matter of fact, Acts 17, God now calls all men to repent. So every sinner is called to repent.
Amen.
That's not the calling we're talking about here. Okay? Everybody gets the, what's called the general call. Not just, you know, not just the folks in this room. Everybody. Folks out, you know, having their beer bus right now and, you know, and waking up from their, you know, stupor from last night. Everybody's called to repent. Okay? That's the general call. However, some sinners, those who are chosen and elect, hear the call of God and respond in repentance and faith. Okay? That's what chapter 1 talks about. Matter of fact, I want to show you that. Turn to chapter 1 real quick. And we're hastening toward the conclusion here, but I want to let me show you this. You got Romans 1?
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 6. Including you who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Look at verse 7. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? God calls everybody to repent, but some hear the call and say, yes, Lord. I submit myself to this gospel. I submit myself to Christ. I see that he's the only Savior for the world and for me. I receive him as my own. Right? If you are a Christian, you heard the call one day, and you answered. Never forget that. Never take it for granted that God didn't pass you by. That call was going out since the time you were able to recognize, you know, some sense of responsibility and sinfulness in the world. Okay? That call was going out to you. And I heard it for 28 years.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? 28 years. But then in that September of that 1 year, when I was 28, I didn't just hear it generally. I heard it directly. God wasn't speaking to everybody else. He was doing what? Speaking to me. It wasn't that I hadn't heard it with my ears before. Now I was hearing it with my heart. That's the call. And if you've been called, this promise applies to you. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know how God... See, sometimes God calls and he saves like he did Paul. You remember that? How radically he saved Paul? Okay. But everybody's salvation is not that way. Some he saves carefully. He brings you along, right? Little but slowly. Some of us, he just has to slam dunk us, you know. And that's all right. That's all right. So don't you go around thinking that somebody else can't be saved because they didn't come the way you did.
Right.
But if you heard the call and you said yes, that's all that matters.
Amen.
Then finally he says that you have to be called according to his purpose. What is this? This is the purpose for which God saves every believer. Now you got to think now. Think. You, if you are a Christian, you need to ask yourself, why did God save me? I'm an only child, but I got other folks in my family. This is dead. You know what I'm saying? Spiritually, they're living their life just as carefree. You know, appears to be no concern. I remember Jonathan Edwards says that a sinner is like living his life walking across a floor on rotten boards that drop straight into hell. Mm-hmm. Every step could be the last one. They have no idea. This is living, it's like there's no problem. You see? Every step could be the last. Nobody knows when you're going to die.
That's right.
But God called you and saved you, and the question is, for what purpose? Everybody needs to answer that. In this room, why did God save me? Not career. Now you understand what I'm saying. Not what career should I take, or what, you know, this thing, that thing. But why did He save me? What's His purpose for me? That's when you have fulfillment in life.
Yeah.
You may not ever get the job you want, or the promotion you want, or finish your education. That's not the issue. If you know why God saved you, you can live a fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. God has a specific and special plan and purpose for each one of us, even unbelievers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Amen. Yeah. Come on, brother.
I'm going to show you a verse. You'll have to turn if you don't want to. Proverbs 16 and verse 4. If you've never heard this verse, make note of it. Proverbs 16 and verse 4. Listen to it. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. God said, I made Pharaoh.
Come on.
So that I could prove to him and to everyone else who I am, that they may know my name.
Yeah.
God brought Judas. Judas was born with a purpose. Right? And so if the wicked have purposes, come on, Christian. If the wicked have purposes, God saved you, put His Spirit in you, put gifts in you, put skills in you. Why? What am I to do? That's what you need to know. And I need to know that everything in my life is moving me toward that purpose. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. You say, well, I had to give up this thing. Don't. Jesus, you remember Jesus had to talk to His disciples about that, right? They said, Lord, we gave up everything for You. Look, He says, no one has given up anything for me but what you won't receive 10 times more, 100 times more. Listen to this. Not just in heaven, but He said where? Also in this life. Don't keep looking back. Forget those things that what? Lie behind. Reach forward to those things that lie ahead and do what? Press on. You hear me? It's time to press on.
Amen.
Because the purpose is out there, not back here. Why do we want to keep living back here? As a matter of fact, I want to tell you something. I've heard people say this. Oh, I wish things were the way they were. I don't.
Amen.
Our life is not back here. Okay? Because all things are working together for what? For our benefit, so it's moving where? It's forward. The benefit is out here. Keep moving forward. Let me read these last two sentences and we'll try to conclude. God uses all of the events in our lives to help us discover His purpose for us. Ultimately, to become like Jesus in our character, in our attitude, in our actions. Matter of fact, did you notice what the next verse says? Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to what? Become conformed to the image.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything is moving us in that direction.
Amen.
To become more like Jesus. All of the tough times. As a matter of fact, I'm confident of this. You ever notice It seems like those whom God loves the most get hurt the most. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at stuff. Look at Moses and mm-hmm. and on and on. You know, you follow the people in the scriptures.
That's right.
Trials shape us. The test, the trials, Abraham. Look at Sarah. I mean, just follow the people of the Bible. Trials shape us and conform us. They move us toward God's character. So you need slander and rejection, persecution. You need to miss a raise. Yeah. We're not saying this. I'm just saying that's a part of the whole thing is how shapes. If everything's going fine, you haven't been tested.
Right.
You need family problems, marital problems, problems with the children. You need parental problems.
Oh, have mercy.
All of that, it moves us to have to face what's in us. And when God shows me that what's in me is not like Christ, then I need to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ultimately, it benefits. So then, my brothers and sisters, I know this has been long. But I want you to think. Our hope is based on what we know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But we would not love God, or we would not be called according to his purpose if Jesus had not died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Stay with me. Jesus would not have died for our sins if he had not lived.
Amen.
He would not have lived if he had not been born.
Amen.
He would not have been born if God had not so loved the world.
Yes.
He gave his only son.
Mm.
Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So during this season when people say they are celebrating Christmas, remember, things are working together for your good because Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He came as a baby. He came. This is not just a story. This is reality.
Mm-hmm.
This verse has no meaning if Jesus did not live.
Mm-hmm.
And during this season and time of the year, we remember that Jesus was born. We do not know exactly what day. Right? So don't get to fighting with people and squabbling over December 25th. That's not the issue.
Amen.
The fact is that he was born.
Amen.
He was born. That's the reason we have hope. He was born, but we know for a fact that he came, so our hope is based on a person, based on the person and work of Jesus. Through him and because of him, God is working all things together. So the question is, do you know? That's really the issue. I know I've spent this hour talking to you about good, but there's no good if you don't know. Do you know him? If you do, then consider it all joy when you encounter the various trials of life, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing endurance and it's going to work for your benefit.
Amen.
If you do not know him, then I make a real and a genuine offer to you for eternal hope and eternal life. If you don't know Christ, you listen attentively to what I have to say, but unless you have been changed, you're not among. This doesn't apply to you. So as we bow together for just a few minutes to think about these truths. Think about your position. If you're not in Christ, then you're not promised that things are going to work for you.
Well,
but you can be in him.
Amen.
Because he makes himself available to you.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for your great love, peace, and joy, and strength. I ask you, Father, take these feeble words of mine, make them pillars and the anchor and truth for your people's that one here today who may be struggling with whether they belong to you or not. Holy Spirit, I ask you to work very carefully You know your work better than me. Work out in the heart of that one, Lord, what needs to be known and done for true salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.